This is Sacktown Sports.
Phone lines are on fire. Look, and I'll put it to you like this. When you are in a situation where your team didn't do what you expected the team to do, you're upset. And that feeling is going to leak into a bunch of different avenues. There is nothing, and I repeat, nothing, that Mike Brown, Monty McNair, Chris Watkins, Alan Stiles, or anybody else on this station can say to really make you feel better if you are that upset that the Kings are not facing the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight in game two, and they are at home and they are doing exit interviews, okay? That doesn't give anybody the right to take it out on anyone. And I think if you've listened to this show for the duration of the time we've been on this show, we give people very long leashes. But when it turns into attacks that are a bit unnecessary, that is where we got to draw the line, and anybody else would draw the line. And like I said, if you're new to the show, thank you for joining us. If you've been listening, I mean, we go back and forth with people all the time. But there are things that can be said without the jabs at the beginning when they just don't really even correlate to what is trying to be said. With that being said, from the 916, wow, you guys are getting mad when called for being soft. Why aren't we questioning sticking with Kevin Huerter, the liability? Don't be so soft. See, there's an example because we have the power to not read these texts. That's I don't have to read any of these texts.
You definitely did not.
But we read all of them.
All of them.
Because throughout this show, we have proven, or we try to prove, that we want to have conversations with you when they make sense. So to the 916, Chris and I, we go to virtually every game. Yep. We're in every pregame presser. I'm in the postgame presser. Yep. Chris is doing the postgame on YouTube. And you know what got asked time and time again? Hey, Kevin Huerter, what are your thoughts? As I recall, Kevin Huerter actually did get benched. The issue was Chris Duarte came in, and he also
got
didn't play
too.
Very well, okay? Yes. Then Kevin Huerter got injured, and Keon took over.
Right.
But when you hear somebody like Mike Brown say the same thing over and over and over again, like Marshawn Lynch, we think Kevin's a good fit. We think that Kevin can get hot. Offensively, he can do some things. Not just us. Some of the people that you listen to on other platforms, you just get tired of asking, and you want to keep a good relationship with these people because this is your livelihood. So you don't want to annoy them because they're going to keep doing the same thing. Just like Nick Saban says, I'm not going to answer. So stop asking. That's why nobody continued to ask about HB. The first half of the season, people kept saying, hey, Harrison Barnes keeps disappearing. Have you thought about maybe taking him out? I asked similar questions.
Why did he ask similar questions? One of your first questions.
A lot of people asked. He says, no. I don't think about taking Harrison Barnes out of the lineup. So why would anybody continue to ask those questions? Okay, and just realistically speaking, Brendan Nunes, who was in the building, don't worry, I told Brendan that everybody said that you guys should have asked tougher questions. I literally told him that during the break.
And the
bottom line is there is a nuance to all of this, okay? You can't say, hey, why wasn't Kevin Huerter good? Hey, why didn't you? These are all questions that they're just going to dance around, and all you're going to do is burn a bridge. So when people like you look to listen to for Kings content, whether it's on this station, whether it's on other platforms, whatever it is, okay, you can get the right information. As I think a lot of parents have told us when we were growing up, you catch more bees with honey than, or excuse me, more bees with sugar than with lemon. With that being said, let's go to TC, who always keeps the vibes right. What's up, TC? What you got for us?
Hey, first and foremost, before we get started, hey, Alan, Chris, what's up, bro?
What is up, TC?
We're living,
good
TC.
To hear from you.
Just living, man. Allen is going to start getting hot, bro, so get ready.
I'm ready.
Bro, it's going to heat up, big dog, and you're going to have a lot of fun this summer, bro.
He's going to have so much
fun. Besides the Kings, I'm making the playoffs. Yeah, bro, listen, Sack don't get far for you, big dog. But let's check it out. Hey, they answered the questions that we wanted to hear. Everybody wants to know about Monk. They're all in on bringing Monk back. Everybody wants to know that. What other questions do we want to find out? ask about HB Kevin. We're not going to get those answers, bro. Just know, like I've been telling everybody, this summer the moves are going to be made, bro. That big move that everybody's looking for, it's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen this summer, dog. It's not going to be the deadline. It's not going to be none of that, bro. So kick back. This season was a disappointment, bro. I'm super emotional. Still to this day, bro, I have not watched a single minute of the playoffs, bro. That's how jaded I am. Seriously, I thought the Kings lost. I might pick up later, but I'm jaded about that, bro. But I got common sense. Check it out, bro. Everything is going to work out for the better of this team. Monty, Mike, you got a bunch of answers. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen after Jordy. Mike told us. Luke's moving up. Doug's moving up. What else do we want to know, bro? We got to kick back as Kings fans and let it ride out. Mike, listen, if you use your common sense and if you're a real Kings fan, not a Kings fan, I just became a Kings fan within the last, like, 3 years, bro, since we've been relevant again. I'm talking about a diehard Kings fan, bro. I'm from Sacramento. Dog, check it out. You know how bad it's been. So talking about Mike and Monty got to go, they got to give this and that. No, bro, we're not even close to that. Y'all better be happy that we got these two dudes out of helm, bro, until it drastically changed. That's all I got, bro. Kings fans, kick back, bro, and enjoy it. I know everybody's frustrated, bro, but at the same time, please use your brain and think about the reality part. That's all I got.
Thanks for the call, TC, as always. Yeah, and I understand why the perspective thing could get tired, sure. Okay? But to your point, Chris, after 16 years, is there just a smidge? I gotta be careful here because I don't even like using this word. Is there just a smidge bit of entitlement here?
Yeah.
I mean, after
that's
16 years of missing the playoffs, you get, and I know that blessing and the curse, that three seed. We try to tell you, stop looking at that three seed for what it is, because that same record, 48 wins. What is that this year? A five?
That maybe got you an eight seed.
Yeah. So it was just a different season last season. Okay.
Yeah,
it's not linear.
Put you in the eight seed.
As somebody said on the text line, we've said it on this show before, the Denver Nuggets went to the Western Conference Finals. And then after that, they didn't get very far in the playoffs. They had the Jamal Murray injury. You could kind of liken that to the Malik Monk injury. So a lot of things happen year in and year out. It does. Please, somebody, if you are upset about what went down, and Chris and I, we are not homers. We sit there and we talk about Mike Brown. We talk about Monty McNair. Just name me the team that went from they missed the playoffs. The next season, they went to the first round. The next season, they went to the second round. The next season, they went to the conference finals. The next season, they went to the finals. It doesn't typically happen like that. Yeah. It just doesn't. You get a pop here, a pop there, and you hope that you put it all together. Okay?
The Warriors were kind of close to that, weren't they?
Kind of.
Not really, because they went from second round to winning the finals. Exactly.
Right?
They couldn't get past the Clippers.
Yeah.
And then the year
but
that
close, yeah.
And then the year that the Clippers they tricked it off and lost somebody.
Yeah.
They ended up beating the Spurs, who were on the way out, and then that was the season they won the whole thing. But they kept running into the Clippers, and they ended up moving off Mark Jackson, but that was after a couple years. So it just doesn't typically happen like that, which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is fine. To me, I'm just holding all of that angst and that emotion that some fans already have. I'm just waiting for the summer.
Yeah.
You
absolutely roll
in and I promise you, I will get as spicy as possible. What
will.
Is it? Not a Calabrian chili, but Nate, what's past the jalapeno?
You'll eat the table.
A ghost pepper.
No pepper X.
Okay, a ghost pepper.
Tapatio Tuesday.
Whatever it is, we will bring one into the studio if no moves are made.
Yes.
I promise you, no one will be more upset than me.
I just know
that they have to do something, but they also are not going to tell you, we're not really close.
Yes.
We kind of botched this trade deadline. They're not going to do, you wouldn't do that at your job. 916 is saying the Bulls kind of did the every season going up, but number one, that's MJ, and number two, they kept running into somebody too. And we get all that. Let's get to Jeremy, 916-339-1140. Let's get to Jeremy, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Jeremy? What you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Chris, this is mostly for you, buddy.
Okay.
I've called in three or four times two of the times I called in to get on you a little bit about some things I didn't agree with you on. And I just want to say to Will, the one who called in and acts like an a-hole, I've called in and I have talked to you. I have disagreed with you. But I've always been respectful to you, and you've never run me when we're being respectful. Now, what Will needs to realize is that we can disagree on certain things, but to call in and trash you on your own show and think he's not going to get run like that is ridiculous. There's all kinds of things all of us are upset about the way the season went. But I just don't understand why somebody's calling your radio show just to trash you. I didn't trash you when I called. We disagreed on a couple of things, but you didn't run me. And then I called in, and I'm actually the one who called you and then called you back and apologized to you about something that I had said because I had gone about it the wrong way. Now Sacramento Kings fans are all mad right now because we didn't get in the playoffs. But for someone to call in and trash you and because of the fact that you are somewhat sticking up for coach and for the GM, I don't get that at all. I don't get that at all. We're Sacramento. We're all supposed to be together.
Yeah, thanks for
appreciate it,
thanks
Jeremy.
For the call, Jeremy.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate it. I love sports talk. I mean, that's why I'm sitting here in this chair, and this is not that serious. Trust me, this is if me and Alan get into it on air about something and we go back and forth about Jonathan Kuminga, the second we hit break, it's chill. Because mm-hmm. You know why? It's not that serious. And so yeah, I'm willing to have a conversation with anybody, but you're tripping if you think that you're going to come in here and try and disrespect any of us. It could be Nate. It could be Alan. It could be myself. We're the ones who got control of the buttons here, okay?
Yeah.
Don't forget that. So, you know, yeah, we're willing to have conversations with just about anybody about just about anything. But there's a line and you know, yeah, it's still Stiles and Watkins with the wonderful Nate Littlefield behind the glass.
Well, I think the big thing for me was just it wasn't – I didn't take it as – you were caping up for Monty or Mike Brown simply because we were looking at it through the lens that they were looking at it through, right? Yeah. I think we caping would be, oh, we don't think they need to do anything. Yeah. I think we all agree that they need to do something. Arguing about how you feel after a presser, that is a waste of time.
Right.
That is a waste of time. And even though
we got no problem with Will either. Will can call back. Yeah, call whenever he wants and whatever. As long as we keep it, you know, above ground, I think it's fine. But it definitely got to a point where, you know, and yeah, Will likes to throw jabs. I mean, that's no problem at all. But it gets to a point where it's like, what are you trying to say? What was the point of the call that you had, or was it just to throw smoke? Because if you want to throw smoke, we can have a debate segment if you want. But I'm not just gonna sit here and get told that I'm wrong and stupid and what am I doing my job for? That's crazy.
When we return, continuing the conversation, Steven, we see you, our guy on the line. Also, the text line is on fire right now and the Sack Chat. We will get to everything and what stuck out to you during the Mike Brown presser and the Monty McNair presser. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stiles and Watkins, 45 more minutes, and then you have the drive, guys, from the 801. Where is the 801?
That's a fantastic question. I've never heard. 801 area
global?
Code is Utah. Operates
Utah.
In the state of Utah.
There you
such
go.
As Salt Lake City, Provo, Orem, Ogden, and Sandy.
There you go.
There
from
you go.
The 801. People forget those glory years, teams lost in the first round 2 years in a row before getting eliminated in round two, then making the conference finals. Success is rarely linear.
You got to hit your head on the wall a couple times before you eventually figure out how to break through. Mm-hmm. That's usually how it goes from like all stances too. Like usually, you know, very rarely do the two teams often do what the Kings did and kind of go from complete obscurity to then, I mean, we just mentioned top three seed isn't really what it sounds like, but very rarely do teams make that leap from 29 wins to 48 wins. Like that's a really big win jump there. So yeah, I mean, at all levels, yeah, it's really, really tough to have linear success.
From Sam in Sacramento, Mike Brown presser was more direct and believable. Monty was nothing,
yes.
But we will get into that. He didn't even get a bullet question to dodge. He provided little or no substances from Sam. Sam also said some things earlier about the media. But yeah, I would just say, Sam, to be completely honest, again, and you can send us a YouTube link on the text line. Find me a GM who's answering direct questions, okay? They all do it. We just played John Lynch yesterday about Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Okay, did he say, we 100% will not move Brandon Ayuk? They don't say stuff like that. That's just what it is. Everything that we, I think, and maybe this is why it came off as caping for Mike Brown and Monty McNair, everything that we thought that he would address in some matter based on the questions, they addressed.
Yeah.
Everybody is on the table.
Yep.
Okay, essentially, everybody is on the table. Yep. They didn't say there are no untouchables. Nope. All right. If the draft looks good, they will keep that 13 if somebody's willing to take it. It's all stuff we already knew, and that's his job to just convey that to us. I'm just trying to figure out what's the groundbreaking thing that people wanted to hear.
At least from Mike Brown, like my biggest question from Mike Brown is what happens now with the coaching staff? I mean, and we got the answer of Luke Laux moves up the bench. Doug Christie is going to become the summer league coach or is leaning towards becoming the summer league coach. Those are really big answers. Of course, you want to know, if there's going to be plans for next season in terms of changing all of those things. But the reality is you can't answer questions about next season because you don't know any of the pieces you're going to have to the point you don't know if you're going to have Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, that 13th pick in the draft. Is that going to be a rookie or is that going to be a guy that you leverage into a veteran? These are questions that you just don't know. And so if you're going to ask Mike Brown, you know, hey, the offense got a little stagnant this year. Any thoughts about changing up the DHO so much? He's probably going to say, I don't know because I don't know what the players we're going to have. So there's only so many questions you can ask at an end of the year press.
Here you go. Hey. Oh, go ahead, Nate.
So I just think what people are looking for is a slip up, like why people pay attention.
Right.
They're looking for a mistake to give insight on what's going on. And I think the perfect example just happened in the last month at the A's press conference when Vivek
during a scrum.
Yeah, and that's part of the media's job. We've all been in the room before. We've been in the room with media post game. I've been with the Niners and the Kings. We've been in with all these teams, right? It's a fine line you have to walk as the media to pry something out of them in a not indirectly.
Right.
It's so passive.
It's a dance.
Yes, you're looking because, like you said, if you just go in on somebody, even in day-to-day life, like you're not going to get anywhere. They're not going to want to answer your questions. They're going to revoke your credentials. There's so many games that are being played.
Right.
It's more than chess.
And that's a little bit of what I had kind of brought up in the last segment. But I'll say this: if you're going to go national treasure here, Nicolas Cage, that last question that was asked, I believe by Jake Gaydon, where he brought up, hey. And you kind of versed it better, Chris. And we'll play all this throughout the week.
Yeah, for sure.
And the players' exit interviews. When it was essentially the untouchable question.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And Monty did essentially said, everybody is kind of on the table.
Yeah. I mean, Jake asked him. Shout out, Jake, our guy Jake, who asked like I think one of the most blunt and honest questions that everybody who's complaining on the text line like. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much more direct you can get than what Jake asked. He said, when we talk about the core of this team, like, does it feel like we can guarantee that they're coming back? Are you going to look to move on from them? And even said, I'm not just talking about Fox and Sabonis, included Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter in that question. And Monty didn't answer it. He walked around it. I will say, again, Monty's somebody who you got to read between the lines. You can't read exactly what he's telling you because it's just a bunch of word soup. Mm-hmm. And he essentially didn't say, yes, we have untouchables to what you just listed out. He said, you know, if opportunity presents itself, we always like to be flexible. You don't know how these things are going to go. And to me, that's an answer to that question is yeah, no one's untouchable. And I think to TC and to what you've been saying, I think that that's showing that this team is going to be aggressive this offseason.
It's just too early.
It's just too early to know anything.
Yeah, it feels like I don't know what's more useless, some of these exit pressers or the last 2-minute report, because they're not going. I mean, you can read between the lines, but everything is so vague.
Sure.
That's exactly what they want, because you know, this is from Beamer, Beams, or Beamly, my favorite name on the Sack Chat.
Yes.
GM can't just tell us the plan. Come on. Yeah, that's exactly right. And you also have somebody else that just went by. The Sack Chat is on fire right now. Yeah. Oh, it was Brandon Deitzman saying the expectations for this presser were wildly high. Yes. That's because
what was
higher
expectations? Expectations for the Kings this season,
yes,
or for what
or
was
the
post game
presser
press
if the
conference.
Kings did not take care of business? And yeah, you're looking for something. You're looking for something to make you feel better. Yeah. And if he sits up there and says, "Yeah, we should have done something at the trade deadline," I'm pretty sure that's also not going to make you feel better, Steven. Our guy, 916-339-1140. Steven, what you got for us?
Not much, man. Hope you guys are having a good day so far.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get to hear the blowback on you guys, but I did come in at the tail end.
Yeah,
of that.
That's
we're past that.
That's
don't
the last segment's news.
Okay. Yeah. That's old news. All right. Then we're moving on.
Yes. That's right. That's
coming
right.
Coming after my guys like that, though, man. If there's anybody that needs to come after anybody, y'all can come after me. It's Card Wellington on Twitter. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Come after me. That's it. But, yeah, man, I'm with you guys on this one, man. You and TC, man. There is no way on God's green earth that Monty is just going to be up there at the presser being like, hey, yeah, so I talked to Malik last night. We're going to re-sign him.
Right.
And you know who else I talked to? I talked to Clay. And guess what? Clay's coming over.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Kevin Herter. Kevin Herter, he's ready to go. Like, Monty is not going to do that, dude. You guys are making the amazing points, man. They're going to dance around the questions. They're going to play the general manager role. They're going to play that John Lynch game, okay? They're going to do that because it's none of our business. It really, truly, not none of our business. As fans, we're allotted so much information, but they're not going to fully divulge everything to everybody and their mama just because you feel like you need answers. Now, that's a generalized statement. Thank you for letting me have the floor. I appreciate
Absolutely.
You guys.
No, thanks for the call, Steven. I will say this quickly. Monty McNair did bring something else up, and I want everybody to just spend some time with this. Monty McNair brought up his son is in Little League right now, and he was likening it to batting averages and how, hey, even as a GM, You take some swings, and you know, in baseball, you're 3-for-10, you're a Hall of Famer. That's 300.
Right.
And as a GM, you want a good batting average as well. I want everybody to just imagine right now, or close your eyes if you're not driving, and just imagine that Monty makes a move, the Kings lose a bunch of picks, you lose Kevin Herter at the trade deadline, not knowing anything that you know now, okay, and that move doesn't work out.
Yep.
Then Chris and I would be taking calls saying, what a stupid
what an
move.
Idiot.
Kevin Herter could have heated up. Yep. What if Kevin Herter does heat up on a different team?
Right.
You never know. Different situations.
Don't let it be a playoff team
Kevin,
either.
Let's say you move off of Kevin Herter off a career year. Yep. Okay. He gets hot.
He has a bad 4 months.
Exactly.
So
he heats up, doesn't get injured because it's a completely different situation. So that play never happens. Then we're taking calls saying, how do you break up the Beam team?
Right.
How do you do that? That was a specific situation where Monty McNair, he essentially, especially with the prices on everything, he was darned if he did, darned if he didn't, because that team broke the streak of not making the playoffs. So they were stuck. They are
That's
no longer
point.
Stuck, okay? Now the gloves come off this summer. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Call or text at 716-339-1140.
A question here. Someone on the tech line, I was looking for Monty to take responsibility for not shoring up things this year. And he blamed Monk and Herter injuries. Yeah, that's kind of what we talked about towards the end. Look, he got asked straight up. It might have been Matt George.
Matt asked the last question. Which
and do you have any regrets?
Yes, the regrets
on
at the
not
deadline.
Making a move.
Exactly.
Okay. He said he did not. He said that if I think here's the thing, and we actually had this conversation at the beginning of the season. If the Kings are going to sit there and raise prices, okay, as a lot of teams do when right. they get better, if they're going to raise prices, if they're going to sit there and say, hey, we're building something, they in sports, there's so much of things that we believe but things that you cannot say out loud,
right.
okay? Mike Brown, Monty McNair, they have to say we have championship aspirations, right. all right? And that's not to say that's not true. Did they think they were going to win a championship this year?
Right.
I do not believe so. Did the fans believe that they were going to win a championship this year? Maybe some, but for the most part,
and
I
one
don't...
stray player, as we know from
exactly.
yesterday's poll.
Yes, exactly. one and one player. Random player. I do not believe so. So I think what I would deduct from what Monty is saying when he says, hey, if Monk and Herter don't get injured,
right.
yada, 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 we're probably still playing. I think that their goal that they are not going to say out loud was to make it linear and to get to the second round.
Yeah.
You cannot tell people we're raising prices and we're trying to get to the second round. You have to say we are a championship team or we're trying to become a championship contender. But it's this weird thing in sports where you cannot talk about the process
middle ground, right?
of getting
yes.
there.
Yeah.
So I think that is Monty telling you, we have to say that we are a championship contender, so y'all buy tickets.
You understand that we're trying to go up.
But yes, I think yes. we all know all right. that the hope was second round.
Right.
But they can't say that. Chris and I can say that. Fans can say that. Everybody else can say that. They can't say that because right. you can't sell tickets that way. But deep down, we all wanted just be better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Monty's just saying, I still believe that if Malik hadn't gotten injured and Kevin Herter doesn't get injured, we would have been better than last year.
Right.
Is that the case? Yeah. Is it a little bit of a cop-out because we'll never know?
Absolutely.
Sure, but I don't think that's oh my gosh. Monty McNair is the GM in Sacramento. He yeah. just never gives direct answers.
Meanwhile,
all these other GMs are giving direct answers.
Right.
I'll tell you what, there's probably some GMs that give two direct answers, and they probably went out of job right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, yeah, no. And, you know, Monty learned this from Daryl Morey, who, you know, kind of goes on either side of this, where he's either way too secretive or way too upfront. And
yeah.
I don't think it just leads to a different amount of chaos. And so, you know, I think if Monty has always been like this too, he never gives anything in any of his press conferences. And sometimes, like I said, you'll have to read between the lines to hear what he's actually trying to say. But, you know, this you know, end of the season GM questions, really the best thing you're going to get are those two last questions that Jake and Matt asked is, you know, the deadline and moving forward, what are your plans? Besides that, I don't really know what else everyone was expecting. Did guys live up to expectations? I don't think that question was asked, but that'd be something I'd be willing to try and listen on. And you know, Sasha, I think, would have been an interesting question of just how did that plan work out and what's the future there? But ultimately, I think this team is like you said. I mean, they always were going to have a cap of what we expected them to have this season, and I think that was a second round. And moving forward, I think the goal is going to be absolutely second round bare minimum moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, I think sometimes you do have to take a step back in order to take a massive leap forward. And it sucks to go through, but I think that was always what this season was going to be. Not necessarily 100% had to be a step back, but this season was always going to fall short. And the goal was going to always be to make the real move for next season. I think that's still the track we're on now. And again, like you said last segment, if nothing happens this offseason, that's when I think you and I will both be on the side of a lot of these Kings fans who are really, really upset. And I would just, I don't think they're wrong for being upset. I just think that they're a little bit early to the party. And you know, I ultimately, believe that Monty McNair has done a great job of putting the Kings in this situation. You talk about batting average, or Monty talking about batting average, I would say he's probably hit somewhere near 600. He's definitely has, not in terms of baseball terms, but just in terms of 6 out of 10 moves feel like they go right. And that feels like I'm honestly probably giving him the short end of the stick. The only moves that I can really think that he has made that haven't worked out, you know, he traded DeLon Wright for Tristan Thompson a couple years back. That doesn't really make sense. DeLon Wright looks great right now for Miami, by the way. And, you know, there's been a couple, you know, Sasha maybe, or Chris Duarte coming in, maybe not bringing back Terrence Davis. But all these are really, really small. So I would just say Monty McNair, Mike Brown, both won their spot of the year last year. Monty, Exec of the Year. Mike Brown, Coach of the Year. Can we just give them a year?
No,
can we give
like
them a year of leeway, please? Just allow them some space to fail, just a little bit before we
this
can.
This year, there are some people that are jumping ahead of it. We get all that. We do not police fandom. All we do is try to harness it and get it in the right direction. And I will say this, Chris, you make a great point. As far as the linear thing, just because you missed the playoff this year, this isn't, and I'm going to age myself here, this is not Nintendo. You do not get to hit the reset, and now next season, the goal is to make it to the playoffs. No. Because you missed the playoffs this year, you have to make you can still set it at second round, but if you get to the playoffs and lose in the first round again, that's still hot seat to me.
That's still hot seat to me.
It's not our problem that you missed the playoffs, okay? And unfortunately, Malik, you know, it doesn't matter about, oh, well, if he didn't get injured, that's all fine and good for an exit presser. That's not going to change anything besides tick off some texters and callers on our show. But moving forward, that's not okay. I got this here, Chris.
Yes.
And I know Nate will probably help me out with this. We got to get the milk available. Here we go, people. Here we go. If there is no big move made this summer,
okay,
I will get my hands. I'm looking at
Have
the
you
Scoville.
Been looking up a pepper
I'm on the
this
Scoville scale
set.
Right now. I'm on the Scoville scale. I will get a Carolina Reaper. I will take a bite of a Carolina Reaper.
Oh,
get the milk available for me. If there is no move made this up, to prove to y'all that this is not Homerville, okay? Yeah. It's never been, but we need to remind y'all.
Okay.
We'll set the date. What's the date? September? What do you want to make it? Just before opening night?
Yeah, before opening night.
Before opening night.
Yeah.
I will get my hands on a Carolina Reaper.
Yep.
It is the hottest pepper in the U.S., okay? And I will take a bite of a Carolina Reaper if there is no move made.
What classifies as
no move? Yes, that's
what
I got to ask.
No big moves.
Styles and Watkins.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Sacktown Sports.
Whitey Gleason is joining us, or has joined us.
Woo-hoo!
From the 707, been saying it for years. Barnes is the biggest disappointment since he got here. If Barnes is still here, we will never be successful. If he is not traded, it's going to be tough to continue to support this team from the 707. My question is, 707, are you willing, I guess, if the value is down, how bad do you want him out? Okay, how bad do you want him out? Because some people think he can still be used to bring in a semi-big fish. I don't know what type of fish that. I still got to go fishing, by the way. It's almost summer. I got my license. If Chris wants to join me,
a lot of options around here. And make sure you check out Sepp.
That's right.
Sepp will give you the
rundown.
That's what I'm talking about.
All the dirt.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I don't know if that's a trout or whatever.
You can even be on a show. You can call in from wherever.
I think I will.
Yes.
I think I actually don't want to do that. Do you just want him off the squad to make Trey Lyles a starter, or do you? Yes, Whitey.
May I say something to that? Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people on Twitter do that for different teams in different sports. It's like, all right, the season's over for whoever. Who stays and who goes? And that's the dumbest thing to say, well, this guy's got to go. You know, as if the guy is so terrible that you're better off just by getting
but
rid
that's
of
what
him.
I'm at, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. How bad do you
and
want him gone?
That's just ridiculous in the case of Harrison Barnes.
Yeah.
I understand the frustration And I know you're not a
No, I'm not. Yeah. And I will say, like, you know, I will pretty much echo what you're going at. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, I don't love every game from Harrison Barnes either, but you still kind of need a Harrison Barnes on the team. Now, if your problem is he gets too big of a role, that's one thing, but to your guys' point, like, I don't know if he doesn't need to be here in total.
Yeah,
I
just think maybe he's three wins right there. It's just like, that's, yeah. There, it doesn't make any sense.
In a perfect world, you can get some value back for him, but if not, how bad do you want him gone? And going back to Monty McNair, if you want to sit there and say, hey, extending Harrison Barnes, that was a mistake, or giving him that new deal, that was a mistake, we're not going to sit here and disagree with you. Nope. The problem is, you can't move backwards, right? So, again, he wasn't going to sit up there and say, yeah, I kind of whiffed on the Harrison Barnes thing. Hey, Vivek, you want to try somebody else in my spot? Like, that just wasn't going to happen.
Whoops.
Here we go, guys.
But why would it be a mistake? Because you mean because they should have gotten a bigger name? I mean, I know he didn't have a great year.
A lot
year.
Of people said you shouldn't have brought back Harrison Barnes.
I think that he was the best option of what was left.
I agree, especially price-wise. Yeah. It's like, you look at Kuzma, who made $22 million, I think, as a base, and then Jeremy Grant, don't even get me started on that contract. HB's making like $18 million a year. So it's like he is getting paid less than all of those guys, but he's probably, production-wise, he's probably lesser than those
guys. Yeah. So people talk like he's shooting 31% from threes and averaging like 7 a game.
Right.
You know, with 4 turnovers. It's like, I understand the frustration that he's done more, but when you look at what he does, it's just ridiculous to think that if you get rid of him, you're better off just by virtue of him being gone.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here, guys. And the more we think about it, and I know it's the base, right, Chris? So the average for Malik Monk would be that 17. But if I'm Malik, so that means next season Harrison would be making $1 million more than Malik. Yes. I don't know if I can sit on that one. Harrison can't make more than me. I'm sorry. Just on principle.
Harrison has been around longer, and he's got more of a proven track record.
I don't care. Yeah. Well, not on that team.
That's a fact.
I'm just saying, if I'm Malik, that might be the case.
There are people who care about that.
And that agent is probably going to say, you really going to let Harrison Barnes make the money? Real quick, guys, because this is where we're at in the offseason. So De'Aaron Fox, and you talk about being a leader, and I know social media is fake, but it is what it is these days. Liked by Chris Watkins, by the way.
Really?
An hour ago. You need to be doing your job, Chris. Get off your phone. Sat fans.
Okay, this guy's tweeting about Sat Farm shoes over here.
That was during a break.
That's like Draymond Green saying, hey, watch what you say, man.
That's right. All right. Yeah, I'm on my phone a good bit. Sac fans, this is from Swipe of the Fox. Sac fans, y'all deserve to be in the playoffs. We'll get back with a purple heart. And he posts a bunch of photos from the season. It gets better. One of the photos that he posts is specifically with Malik Monk, just the two of them, and funny enough, in their jerseys that resemble the Kentucky jerseys. Mm. Malik Monk then takes that picture and posted it on his story. I think it's safe to say.
Right. You know what?
It's looking good.
If people report as much as they do on so-and-so unfollowed their team, then I think this counts just the same. You know, I definitely think that we can cover this in the same amount of joy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm reading that as Malik staying.
When Malik says, hey, I could go somewhere else, make more money, and be in a worse situation, does that suggest to you that he's staying?
Whitey, what did you think of that comment? Because you can read into that a lot of different ways. Because it's the quote, if you read it as you just kind of laid it out, is, I could go to a worse situation or I could make more money and be in a worse situation. And that is the quote. Like, that is, you can read it at face value and say, I could do that. Like, that could just be something I do.
Right.
Or he could be saying, look, I know that's a possibility, and that's not something I'm trying to do.
Well, the reason I ask is because I saw today, I think, on Twitter, he said that not only last week or whenever, he said that when he left the Lakers.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I can show you. I think he said, I could make $5 million more somewhere else, but I might be in a worse situation. But ultimately, he decided, I'll take the $5 million. Well, I don't think he was in a worse situation.
Right, no,
here,
definitely not.
Yeah,
but he might have thought it at the time.
I mean, when I heard that last week, I was like, oh, that's a nice thing to hear. And then I saw it. Today I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, the other piece of this is there is the scariest option that there's more money and it's not a worse situation.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, we've been through I'm surprised I don't have the teams memorized yet. I know it's the Spurs. I know it's the Magic. I know it's the Jazz. I know
Detroit,
it's the Sixers.
Detroit and basketball. Detroit.
So I think it is those five. Yeah. So out of those five, Detroit, more money, worse situation.
Yeah.
Utah, more money, worse situation. Yeah. Unfortunately, I do think it's only those two. I think it's an equal situation in Philly, I think, or better. I think it's equal or better with the Magic. I think it's equal or better with the Spurs.
Did you see what De'Aaron Fox's wife said on Twitter about
the taxes? This?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think she was talking about De'Aaron and Bam.
Yeah. Make
she
the
said
same money.
Or same contract.
Same contract, yes.
He makes a lot more money. And where does he play? Same state as Orlando. Yes. So that's what has me most concerned.
Yeah, for sure. Is that it's not just the face value of what you read on the contract. There's also the tax side of it,
oh, yeah.
which I think she said is 13%. I'm not sure if her numbers were 100% real or if she's just throwing numbers out there. But
sounds
I think,
like she knows what
she... I think she... I mean, I'm pretty sure there was
yeah.
point percentage, like
yeah.
there was decibels
yeah.
in there. So I think she said 13.5% is the tax rate here in California versus... you know, in Texas and Florida, it's zero. So, yeah, and I was kind of briefly explaining. It's kind of hard to explain, but essentially, if you people might think, oh, you play, I think she used Atlanta as an example. Atlanta has 5.5 taxes. California has 13.5. It's not you get taxed on that 5.5 because that's where you play. You do get taxed on that 5.5, but then California will take the other 8% and make sure you get to that 13%. So
right.
it's, yeah. It's not a great situation if you're getting paid less face value
in
and then
ways.
Also
yeah.
on the back end as well.
Ellen, are you really taking Zach Edey with a 13th pick?
No.
Wait, where did you pin
no.
that?
No.
Is that really what we're doing here?
I saw that come through, but
oh man,
I did Ooh. Not. I, that is not
you're,
for me.
You're going to want to tune into these airwaves if that happens. Let me tell you, I'm going to have some things to say.
That is not my type of swag, okay? Even though he would fit what I said, you have to draft someone over, I think I
think
landed
you said
at
6'7".
I'm going.
I
got to stick at 6'7".
He
definitely
this year's
clears
Luca.
That.
Luca Garza.
Yeah, I was like, in what capacity?
Yeah, right now. Well, right now I'm on Bleacher Report because this is what we're doing these days. Sacramento Kings taking Duke
hey.
Jared McCain, who was
go.
Born in Sacramento.
Right.
He did go to high school in SoCal.
Shooter.
Yes, I believe he went to
yes.
Centennial.
He, I don't think yeah. he'll be there when they unless they
I don't
move
either.
Up. But
and
that would be a good pick.
Obviously,
right?
he was a freshman pro comparison, Emmanuel Quickly.
Interesting.
And he's
oh,
a guy who
that's
can
a sixth man.
He can create a little bit as
yeah.
well. And but guys, you
not
know,
overly
6'3",
yeah.
197. Yeah. You gotta find somebody else.
I mean,
is that the Malik?
Yes, that's
yeah,
exactly what
exactly.
I
that's
say.
If Malik goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think so.
Because yeah.
free agency in the NBA happens. Oh, no, it happens after the draft, actually.
Right.
So that would be, you
can
would have
start,
to anticipate
yeah.
it.
You can start talking to Malik, I think, around the draft or before the
around
draft.
It,
yeah, it's
yeah.
really tricky
yeah.
because you don't know. You got to decide what you're going to do in the draft before you necessarily know what he's going to do.
Right. There you go. Thank you for listening to Styles and
you're
Watkins.
Welcome.
Fireworks on this show today, but we love it. We love all the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Roundtable tomorrow, and you are not going to want to miss the roundtable. You have the Drive Guys coming up next. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper, Jay Johnson, Nate Littlefield, thank you for all the work today. Thank you for listening. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.